Thank you for the introduction, but I'm sorry I didn't update my bio until the last minute. So I left Atlanta, Georgia, and I left the United States for good, pretty much. Now I'm an assistant professor at Kanazawa University in Japan. So this work is a little bit of my work past year when I was with CFAC, Center for Pan-Asian Community Services, doing research there. I'm so glad that finally I will be released from this pressure of presentation. And before I forget anything, I have a co-researcher, Karuna, from the Center for Pan-Asian CFAC. Okay. So let me begin. I have no relationship to this course. So first, let me give you an outline of my presentation. First, let me talk about motivation and background, and then the rest follows. I have a very selfish and reason that I'm here to present this research, and that's Asian is always used as an aggregative category in the statistical research, and oftentimes they are excluded from the analysis. If you look at the nationally representative data, and even though it says nationally representative, you have, say, 100 Asians. And knowing Asians are diverse in terms of ethnicities, what you see is 10 Koreans, 15 Chinese, and you don't know what to do with the data. So eventually what you do is either exclude or include as Asian as an aggregated category. And I'm here to say that's problematic. So I'm strongly suggest that the nationally representative sample or data should oversample Asians, including the information of ethnicities. So one portion of this presentation is showing how are different ethnic groups different, and the other portion of my presentation is about parental monitoring, because that's what interests you to come here. So first, it's demographics. So nearly 18 million Asians live in the United States, which consists of about 5.7% of the U.S. population, and Asian is the fastest growing racial group in the United States. And in Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically, it's DeKalb County, Georgia, there are about 41,000 Asians, and it's about 6% of the total population. And of those Asians, 2,700 refugees are arriving each year to our city of Clarkston mainly. And of those refugees, 550 were from Bhutan and 750 were from Burma, it's Myanmar. So I pointed out that it's important to look at Asians first. And then next thing is parenting, which may be unique to immigrant populations. Those parents move to the United States for better life, for the family and for the kids. And what happens to them is they have to work long hours because they cannot sustain their family with a sole owner. As a consequence, they are not present at home, which weakens their authority as a parent at home. So they have to depend on children a lot. They don't speak English well. So towards the end, they have to ask for help from child for interpretation, or they are unfamiliar with the US mainstream culture. So they have to ask questions to their children. And those dependency on children and unpresence at home lead to a weakened authority as parent at home. So the question is, how does it affect childhood drinking, underage drinking? Being away from the presentation were a little bit. CPACS is a non-profit organization serving Asians, mainly Asians, but also Hispanics. And then this project is called Georgia Alcohol Prevention Project, funded by DVHDD in state of Georgia. And after the needs assessment, we decided to implement three strategies, including sticker shock campaign, limiting outlet density, and positive social norms. And then the survey was developed to collect the information from parents to develop positive social norm messages. So this is the original survey was not for research purposes. I developed the survey using nationally representative data. I tried at least to include those questions from the nationally representative data set, so eventually I can make a comparison with my data and then the nationally representative data. We collected 787 surveys from, there's one mistake, from Chinese, Bhutanese, Korean, Burmese, Vietnamese and Hispanic parents in Georgia in 2014. We used convenient sampling. We asked the staff members to go out and collect data using their network. The survey was translated into six different languages, but some of the parents were illiterate, they cannot read. So the staff had to read the questions to them. So we had like a survey collection focus group type of thing. For this presentation, I conducted a series of logistic regression, ANOVA, and other. Those two. So first, let's take a look at the sample. I have 434 cases in five ethnic groups, and then breaking down by gender. They are pretty, you probably saw a huge number dropping from 787, partly because 126 were from Hispanics, which is not included in this presentation. And also we had a hard time collecting survey from everybody, so incompletion rate was high. And there are so many missing cases, but this time I didn't do multiple imputations to fill out the missing cases. I just dropped them. So first, let's take a look at the legal age of drinking. So blue indicates right, correct. They said it's 21, and then the rest, red, was incorrect. So if you look at the category of Asian, 46.5% were right about drinking age, which is quite low already. But if you break down this information by ethnicity, there are significant differences. The lowest accuracy rate was observed among Bhutanese people, followed by Burmese, and then for Chinese, Korean and Vietnamese, there are about 6% of correction, I mean accuracy rate. And I did a series of logistic regression to see if these differences are statistically significant differences. So when I put Bhutanese as a reference category, there are statistically significant differences. I also put Burmese as a different reference category. And then, as you see, there was also statistically significant differences. And then when I run a cross tab to see how incorrect they were, so you see orange is correct. And the mistake came from those people tend to say 18 is the legal age of drinking. And if you look up the data, all these countries have 18 as the legal age of drinking. For Koreans, it's 19, but when they are born, it's already 1 year old. So technically, it's the same thing. But that really confuses these parents what age they have, I mean, children have to be to drink legally. Secondly, let's move on to parental monitoring. So there are two questions about parental monitoring. In the last 30 days, please indicate how often you have done each of the following activities with regard to your child. A, required your child to be home by a specific time at night, and B, limited the time that your child spends with other children without adult supervision. And each question's answer choices range from 0 to 4, and I added those two scores. So parental monitoring ranges from 0 to 8. So first, its mean score of parental monitoring. The mean was 5.1, and there's not much variation here. When I run ANOVA to see if those differences mean is different, statistically, Bhutanese people has lower parent monitoring scores. So Bhutanese is a little bit over 4, and compared to Burmese and Vietnamese parents, their score was lower, which indicates their parental monitoring is lower. Finally, I run logistic regression having a dependent variable for if their child had drink or not. So the dependent variable's question was, in the last 30 days, how often did your child use alcohol? If equals 0, if never, and 1, if at least once. And for independent variables, I had peers' drinking behavior. If parents think their child's friends drink, and family rules, did they discuss family rules about drinking, and parental monitoring, which we discussed, and then finally empowerment is how much parents can do to change and reduce underage drinking. Here, unfortunately, Burmese parents were excluded from the analysis because there's no variation on the dependent variable. So none of their parents said their drink had alcohol. Let's take a look at the results. So first, peers' drinking behavior was significant, meaning if parents think their children's peers drink, their children, of course, drink too. And secondly, family rules is not significant, which means discussing the rules about drinking behavior does not impact their alcohol use. Thirdly, parental monitoring. If they have monitored their kids more, kids are less likely to drink. And empowerment. Those parents who think they can do something to reduce alcohol or underage drinking, their kids are less likely to drink. So based on these, let's summarize and implications for our programs. So if their friends drink, children tend to drink. So addressing cultural norms among peers may be one thing that the program can attack. And secondly, parental monitoring is an important factor to reduce underage drinking. So those parents may be losing parental control once they come here to the United States, but somehow regaining this parental authority in family is important for them. Thirdly, knowing the legal age of drinking didn't matter. So if you look at the previous slide, legal age of drinking, both being correct, it doesn't affect or reduce underage drinking. So this really indicates something happening in their own country. They do have legal age of drinking, but probably the rules are not strictly enforced. So they don't really care. But here in the US, it is strictly enforced, so they have to know the consequence of underage drinking. Thirdly, if parents think they can do a lot to reduce alcohol misuse among the youth, their children were less likely to drink. So that those parents may have less self-esteem or less confidence coming to the country, but it's important to empower them. Finally, let's briefly discuss limitations. So first, we have language barriers. There are 5 ethnic groups, and I cannot speak any of these languages. And there are translators who translated all the surveys into those languages, but it doesn't end there. So some people who cannot read have to be read out loud, which takes a lot of staff time. And on top of it, survey is for educated people. Reading survey questions is difficult. And also, picking one choice from those survey, you need some type of education. And some people who do not have those educational background is really unfamiliar to these survey styles, and they cannot complete the survey on their own, which increases missing cases, and you have to drop some of them. So for future study, I believe we have to train the staff who can speak their languages and sit with them to complete the survey, not like a group survey collection. Thirdly, although we may have done a better job than the nationally representative sample, but the sample size is so small, and we utilize non-probability sampling, so there's no way to generalize the results to generalize the result to the population. And finally, these surveys were collected from parents, so it is parents' perception. I guess for this kind of research, we should use family as a unit of analysis, not parents or children, but as a family. Despite those weaknesses, we have contributions. So first thing was disaggregated categories. Looking at different ethnic groups is important. And by comparing those ethnic groups with whites, blacks, Hispanic, and other racial groups in the United States, you can see what's unique to your own group. So everything is about comparison in research. So this is important to look at in the future research. And once we know about how those ethnic groups are different from each other, we can develop culturally specific programs to attack the issue. And finally, for future research, I hope to make a comparison with white and other racial groups, or even internationally. And here's my reference. Thank you.